Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are going through the Cafe Book Club. We are going through the Book of Joy with the Dalai Lama and Reverend Desmond Tutu, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And I bring on my lovely co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you this evening?
Feeling a little shy, a little timid, perhaps a little feeling some humility.
That's good, because that's what this chapter is all about. So good for you.
Oh, my God. What a coinky-dinky.
Huh?
What a coincidence.
Coinky-dinky? What a coinky-dinky? Yeah, this is a very interesting pillar. It's the actual chapter in the book is Humility. I tried to look humble and modest, and that was actually something that Desmond Tutu had said. And, boy, it's interesting looking from them as two icons of spirituality and the way that they've brought that into the world in their own unique ways. And then our wonderful reporter, Douglas, being able to just kind of dance around in the different dynamics that they have on that. So overall, what did you think of this chapter? Or this pillar, I should say.
This pillar, yes, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I've really been kind of sitting with how do you balance being humble or humility and standing in your authentic power. How do you balance being a leader and being humble? I'm not saying you can't do that. It seems like it's a little bit of a dance.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one thing that is over and over again with the different examples of stories and stuff from both of them, right off the bat, there was one that was really interesting about the Dalai Lama had been invited into New Delhi to go to a spiritual, workshop. Well, it was a gathering of a bunch of different spiritual teachers. And there was another Indian spiritual teacher there was very put off by the fact that the Dalai Lama's chair was going to be at the same height as everyone else. And they immediately went out and got some bricks and put them underneath his chair so his chair could be taller. You know, and Desmond's looking at him like, oh, what's going to happen if one of those bricks isn't solid and you fall over? And he says, well, there you go, showing me that I'm human. So I thought that they both laughed about that, just thinking that others would think that they have to create this staging, you know, of you know, somebody being sitting higher than another and things like that. And, boy, some of that is just such an old way of looking at things when it comes to just a sense. It just reminds me of how vulnerability is, I've always heard it said that, you know, especially since I've been reading so much on a spiritual level, that vulnerability is one of the highest, things
fears?
To seek when it comes to being, you know, huh?
Are you like, well, I'm trying to say what word you're looking for is like a fear. I think a lot of people have a fear of being vulnerable.
Yeah, if you're being vulnerable, but actually it's very noble to be, you know, seek to come from a place where you're very vulnerable and just open to having, you know, being able to fully experiencing everything and not guarded in a way that would really hinder your experience or not being, you know, it's that whole thing about people being willing to let themselves be just transparent and authentic in the moment and not worrying about what other people are going to think and say by just being yourself and being truly just available for everybody. And I think that's really, along with that, what the humility is what's all about with this. Because I love how he talks about courage and strength and compassion. It's so many things that you wouldn't necessarily think when somebody just says, you know, it's good to be humble.
Well, you know, but as you're saying that, I've been watching the show The Crown. I don't know, did you watch that at all, Robin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just for people to know, it's actually was a British, one of those miniseries that they had, and it was all about Queen Elizabeth coming to power and some of the things that she had to experience during her early reign. And it's very interesting to see all the, you know, you're getting to see it from a different perspective from like the Royal Review instead of the way it was just for the, in the public eye with people being able to see it from the, you know, the different perspective. Very well done. It won Emmys for best show, and some of the main actors won for best performances as well. So it's a very, very good thing. So, you know, I couldn't recommend it highly enough to go check out The Crown. So go ahead, Amy.
So from that, she had to learn, she became the queen very young, her father died, and she was in her early 20s, and really wasn't quite prepared to be queen. And watching the process, it shows how there are times where she has to have that image. I think she was very much in integrity. I think she was very much authentic, and she also had to be a part. She had to play a part, and sometimes that was keeping a distance from others. And so I think that there are times that you show your vulnerability by being transparent, and there's times when you show vulnerability by not being transparent.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know, just something,
you know,
I'm chewing on. I don't necessarily have the answers
to
anything. I think that's part of what this is,
well,
you know,
bringing
up.
Well, I really love how the Dalai Lama was sharing about when he was younger. He said when he first started giving formal teachings, he didn't really feel that he was prepared for that, and he would experience a lot of anxiety. And he said I would forget that I was talking to human beings and following human beings, and he would remind himself that you know, it says later that, you know, whenever he has that a sense of people trying to make him bigger than he is, he just thinks of like a bug, and how bugs are just what they are, and they don't have to really worry on a big level about what other people are going to think about him. I don't know if that's true. Like, have you seen Bugs Life?
It's true.
They're all worried about each other and what they were going
to
do.
Takes
so
it,
I don't know.
Takes it to a whole other level. So again,
that's
depending on what
frame. I don't think that Disney had come out with the Bugs Life yet when that whole thing came out.
So it depends on your perspective.
We put the humility, we put the human factor on that, I think. So, you know, the bugs really do that. So be interesting premise to put that all on. So anything as we go through the chapter that you want to make sure that we highlight?
I'd like to kind of go back up a little bit and go back to that first page of Pillar 2. And they talk about when we meet anyone, first and foremost, we must remember that they, too, have the same desire to have a happy day, a happy month, a happy life, and we all have the right to achieve it. So if you just stop, you know, and really be with that and say if people really want that and we're all looking for that, then that kind of puts us on the same playing field. And I think that's a great way to kind of start, you know, start the conversation.
Yeah, but just, you know, I think along with that is he's talking about, you know, when he's going to be doing a speech or a talk for somebody, and he says, then you see my talk may offer them something relevant, but if I consider myself something special, or if they also consider me something special and different, my experience will not be as much. So it's getting tainted for the fact that, you know, you're thinking that I'm something more than I'm not. And just, I think that's always the wonderful thing to do is to tell a lot of personal stories about challenge or real, you know, revelations and realizations about things that you've learned that are just more commonplace, so people can really be able to feel connected and you know, and relate to things within their own lives, just, you know, showing that a level of humility and in the humanism of everybody.
Well, I like in page 206 where the Dalai Lama talks about President Bush and how they immediately became close friends on the human level, and it started with a cookie. And they had met, and he asked him, well, there were different types of cookies being served, and he says, well, which one is the best? And he acted like a normal human being, so we became very close. So they were talking about cookies. And I just want to come back to, you know, I used to teach a lot of classes on communication, and when you take communicate down to the bare level, the Latin root, it's to make common. And I think that's what we're trying to do is like, you know, especially when we start dating, is like, you drink water? I drink water. You went to high school? I went to high school. So it was like, first, right, we're looking for all those common things. And then it seems mm-hmm. like over time we start looking for what separates us, whether that brings mm-hmm. us together. So I think the challenge is how do you still stay in that place, right, of how do we make common even within our differences that may try to pull us apart.
Well, and I think a cookie is a very good common ground, personally, but, you know.
I think so.
That's
you
something
know,
I
can
do.
And pie. I think pie can bring us together.
Yeah, exactly. So they say humility is not something that one can claim to have. It is for this reason that I think that the Archbishop was laughing about the questions even before I had finished asking them. He did not want to claim to be an expert on humility. Nevertheless, he and the Dalai Lama were saying that humility is essential to a life of joy. It's exactly this humility that allows these two men to be so approachable, so connected to others, and so effective in the work in the world that they do. I think that was a really great little paragraph about, you know, being it's about being a human man, being a human being, and being able to laugh at yourself. You know, the next pillar that we're going to be talking about is humor. So I'm just kind of letting people know for next week how great that's going to be. So,
and the ability to laugh at life, well, you know, including the silly things that we do, is really a form of really loving yourself and other people. Because if you can have that mm-hmm. laughter between you. It was like I've had some really challenging things happen in a project I'm working on. And we kind of all lost our sense of humor about things and what were happening. And we had a Come to Jesus meeting today. And through it, we were able to find some things about what was going on that we could laugh about and find a way to find that common ground again. And remembering that, you know, we were working on this amazing project. But sometimes you get so wrapped up in doing this amazing work that you forget, wait a minute. You know, there's other people here, and we have to, you know, make this fun and light for each other instead of just working ourselves to death. And it's easy to forget that, I think. So I like where you were. I went a little bit further with that. That literally the next paragraph, it says, the Dalai Lama says there's a Tibetan prayer, which is part of mind training teaching. A Tibetan master says, whenever I see someone, I may feel superior. From the depth of my heart, I may be able to really appreciate the other person in front of me. And then he turned to the Archbishop and he said, sometimes you tell me to act. And the Archbishop says, like a holy man. And what I love about it, to me, you know, you think about it, they act like a professional, right? They tell us to
mm-hmm.
act
They're
like
faking until they make it, right?
Right? And so it's, you know, trying to put us into a space that, you know, maybe, you know, you may feel uncomfortable. Like you were saying before about the Dalai Lama and this whole the raising of the chair thing. We think about it when we go into organizations, right? We go, oh, my goodness, you go into court and the judge is way above, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, mm-hmm. to give that I'm in charge, I'm judging you, when you go into different offices too, and you'll see where they have you seated is where they're trying to balance the power. And who mm-hmm. who has more of it? So if you start noticing, you know, where is that? And it's funny, I was on a radio show yesterday, and we were talking about perspective, and you know that whole balancing. And what came to me was feeding into what we're talking about now. This making common is the Newton. NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And what you mm-hmm. do, one of the techniques with that is called mirroring. And I was like, if you're sitting, I sit. Stand, I stand. I kind of mirror your speech. And that makes you feel safe with me. That makes you feel comfortable. I just want to give a warning statement here that I am not telling you to use this for evil. If you choose to use this technique, I need you to use it for good. Because it mm-hmm. helps you to feel connected with somebody, but you want to, you know, I'm praying, right, that you use it in a way that for positive and not just to manipulate people. But that's mm-hmm. another way to make common. When you want to, if somebody's sitting, you sit. You don't have a big desk in between you. As a matter of fact, I was talking with a good friend of mine who does grief recovery work, and she runs groups of people processing grief. And then an organization that she's going to be doing a many-week program by helping people deal with their grief, The only room that they had available was a big boardroom that had a big table in the center. Normally, she has chairs just in a circle, and there's no table between people. And so she said it really felt odd, and they really kind of struggled with it, and they can't get another room. So I'm not sure what she's going to do about it, but that table in between all of them has changed the dynamic of the group.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things you want to think about, right? You know, how to create a common and to feel that. And I think it's important, yes, that we're in our authentic power, that we're not, you know, using that, you know, against other people. But it's also important people feel safe when they know who's in charge, and they know who is the one that's, you know, it's like, you know, in your flower shop, Flowers for You in Riverside, California, you know, you're behind the counter when people walk in. So they know you're the one they talk to for advice.
Right.
Right, and you have
but,
another
table. But, you know, it's interesting
because
9 times out of 10, I come around the counter to go pick up a catalog or a display book or something like that and just kind of, you know, have people sit down and, you know, we kind of, you know, like we get to the same level, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's part of that whole that way we're talking about, too, that happens. So, you know.
Or even when
on page.
I just want to come back to working with a bride. And when you're working
right.
with a bride, right, you have a bridal room where you have brides sit down, right, and you're on one side of the table, they're on another, and they know that that's what's happening at that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So where are you going next, girl?
Oh, I was going to talk about on page 207, it talks about, you know, humility is not something that one can claim to have. It is for this reason that I think that the Archbishop was laughing about the questions even before they were asking them. So anyway, we were talking again about, you know, the two of them being very approachable and being able to be being connected with everything. So I'm excited because, you know, we've got about 12 minutes left, and I really want to make sure that one thing that's really lovely about the book of Joy is if you go to the back, there's literally, I don't know, at least 30 different exercises that really help to cultivate a lot of these different things that they talk about. And on page 330, with the pillars, each pillar has an exercise, and there's one on humility, and it's the Lojong practice. And Amy's going to walk through it, and I'd love for us to talk about it a little bit once we experience it.
So let's finish talking about the chapter, though, and before we do that. I kind of posturing what humility is. So let's go to 210, where they talk about what humility is. And they're saying the word humility actually comes from a Latin word for earth or soil. And humility literally brings us back down to earth, which I thought was interesting. I mean, did you know that, Robin?
I did not. And I thought it was really great because they were talking about hummus. That, you know, it said not to be confused with the simple but delicious Middle East. You know, chickpeas, hummus. I thought that was funky.
Darn it.
Because it's spelled the same. You know, in Latin, it's H-U-M-U-S. There's just a missing M that's on there, too. And, you know, like you said, brings us back to earth. And, you know, it's really great. I love how, like, again, we were talking about the bug suit thing where, you know, it's the all-too human traits of pride or ego. The true arrogance really comes from insecurity. And I think it's really an interesting dynamic when we look at, you know, what's the opposites, what can happen to us. And that's one thing that the Dalai Lama talks about is that, you know, in not really coming from a place of humility, you can really, if you're arrogant and things like that, you can get depressed and have levels of anxiety and have levels of depression that really can move in very quickly. Because it's a matter of you're automatically detaching yourself from people and, like we're saying, you know, not making yourself more transparent and vulnerable with people. I think that's something that the practice really kind of talks about, too, that I think is really great. So, you know, he talks about, you know, it seems to struggle with our kind of self. And, you know, one thing that I love about Amy is when she's working with the vet center, I come over periodically. They have care for the caregivers. And at the end of the chapter, they talk about self-care and how it's so important for us to be, you know, genuinely loving and kind toward ourselves and that this can extend to others. And you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, we work with the caregivers of veterans, and it's interesting, I don't know if you know this, I didn't know this till recently, that 60% of veteran spouses are married to veterans. So they're very, very linked together, and that caregiving goes back and forth. And working with a organization called Hidden Heroes, it's hiddenheroes.org, it's with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. And what, you know, they call it Hidden Heroes because these are the people taking care of others very selfishly, and that's really great. But the problem with that is if you're not doing things for yourself, if you're not taking care of yourself, everything falls apart for everybody. So it's really important, and it's not about coming from a narcissistic place, you know, and knowing, it's being able to know the difference and knowing that self-care in a balanced way. And I think it almost comes back to humility, because I see a lot of people abusing the word self-care in order to manipulate others. So I think it's that balance of taking care of myself while being in the world and making sure others are taking care of themselves too, and loving and nurturing
mm-hmm.
each other.
Yeah. And one thing on page 212 that I really wanted to talk about for a couple seconds is, it says, now we should all realize the recognition of our own limitations and weaknesses can be very positive. This can be wisdom. If you realize that you are inadequate in some way, that you are, and then you develop an effort. If you think everything is fine and I'm okay just as I am, then you will not try to develop yourself further. There's a Tibetan saying that says, wisdom is like rainwater. Both gather in low places. There's another saying that when the spring bloom comes, where does it start? Does it start on the hilltops or down in the valley first? Growth begins first in low places. So similarly, if you remain humble, then there is the possibility of that you can keep learning. So I often tell people that although I'm 80 years old, I still consider myself a student. I thought that was really wonderful. And just like, you know, wisdom is like rainwater.
I like that.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. So just really helping us cultivate joy in those low places, knowing that they're going to flower into the other areas of our lives.
So are you ready to do the practice?
Again, yeah. So again, on page 330, there's the humility, the longzhong practice. So let's do it.
So, Robin, why don't you just relax, and we'll really do that, and the rest of our listeners. It's something that you can do, you know, every once in a while, maybe if you're feeling like you're, you know, maybe out of sorts or that you don't feel connected to others. And so this will help us to remember our common bonds with other people. And I love that it talks about it helps us avoid isolation, judgment, and indifference. If you find yourself hiding behind the desk, maybe, or needing to be in a higher chair than somebody else, and this might be a good time to do that. So first off, let's take three nice deep breaths. So you want to breathe in, filling the stomach, filling the chest, feeling your head rise, and then release. Now we're going to go a little bit deeper, taking a nice deep breath, filling the stomach, filling the chest, taking another sip in, hold for a second, then release. And then one more nice deep breath, breathing in love, breathing in healthy energy, and breathing out anything that separates us from others. So now what I want you to do is reflect on all the people who are responsible for your life. Think about your parents who gave you life, your teachers who taught you, the people who grew your food and who made your clothes, the countless others who are responsible for having the life that you have each and every day. Now think of all who have discovered and created all the things we take for granted, the housing, the crops, and the medicines that keep you alive. Think of all the ancestors who have lived and survived so that you could be born, who braved enormous hardship so that you could have the life that you do. Now think of the family and friends who give your life meaning and purpose. Maybe receive their love, feel that love, hold that, and kind of release that. Now I want you to send love to them, seeing, feeling that calm and love coming back and forth back and forth. Now I want you to allow your heart to open and experience love and appreciate all those people. Experience the enormous joy and appreciation that comes from being in touch with all that has been given to you, in realizing how dependent you are on others, how weak in your separateness, and yet how strong in our togetherness. Take a nice deep breath. All right, so how was that for you, Robin?
Oh, it was great. You know, the end of it, I thought, you know, how weak in our separateness and yet how strong we are in our togetherness, it really reminded me of just how nature teaches us, you know, constantly about, you know, the strongness of togetherness and how interdependent it is, supporting one another, and just, you know, it's that much more with, you know, everything being, you know, held in this place of being able to be open, experiencing love and appreciation for all that, you know, is being expressed.
So what are some ways
humble.
Maybe I feel humble. What are some ways maybe, you know, that, and I know at midnight you have a birthday and you're
mm-hmm.
starting a new year. So and it's one of the gifts I like to give myself each year is to think about what is it that I'm going to bring into my life this coming year. So now as we're working on this book of joy and we're working on humility right now and we're stepping into humor, which I know is one of your best traits. And something that you bring amazingly to the planet. What is it that you want to focus on this year?
I think this whole embracing of the oneness of you know everything. You know, being part of nature more. You know, we talk about that occasionally on the show, but just really working. You know, I have a practice that I do is called Flower for Wisdom and really being connected to the flowers. And, you know, with being a florist, it's really a gift for me, but it's also, I feel it's my calling to be, you know, really reminding everybody of how connected we need to be. Amy and I and our sisters, we went to go to visit Zion this last weekend in Utah. And if you've never been to a national park, just really allow yourself, you know, just, gosh, it's such a big gift to give yourself that kind of spaciousness to go to some of these beautiful places that we, you know, that we treasure and are protecting, just like ourselves. You know, it's this treasure that we need to protect and just, you know the value of that, be able just to bask in that beauty and say, I am that when it comes to looking at all the different things. We were blessed to see a lot of, you know, blossoming trees and wildflowers growing and just, you know, the joy of spring. And I think that's something that can revitalize yourself and just, in, you know, with body and spirit. And we even did some self-care this weekend, going to a nice spa and just getting some care and laughing with one another. So it's that nurturing of each other, nurturing of ourselves, and being able to just be a wellspring for other people. Because, you know, it's that, but, you know, as I nurture myself, I can nurture another. And being able to, you know, give that back out. So it's that, you know, giving and receiving, it's definitely something where, you know, being able to accept and also, you know, give back out again. You know, I'm so plentiful that I can have it be something that I can give to others. That's really just kind of what I want to have going out in the world and just kind of being messaging and stuff like that, doing some more blogging and things like that in a way of being able to express that out for people and just having the great conversation for people to be, you know, seeing where everybody is with that.
And I think that's a great gift. It's going to be fun to watch where we both end up at the end of this process. I like that we're taking
the
time.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you know, I really encourage everybody to be checking out the different practices that are in the back of the book. Next week we're going to be doing humor, which is called Laughter. Joking is much better. So, you know, working with that as a dynamic of being with other people, not taking ourselves to seriously, as well as, you know, being able to be in a place of embracing people where they are and having it being something light and fun. I think that's going to be a great conversation. So, well, Miss Amy, as always, thank you so much. You help me to be humble and grateful each and every time I get the honor of being to spend some time with you.
It's a great ride, and have a happy birthday, my sister, my friend.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank our international audience. Thank you for all your comments, suggestions. We really appreciate them. And, you know, as always, we want to encourage everybody to go to the transformation-cafe.com for our regular show. And, you know, thank you for joining with your app of the podcast, you know, whether it be on iHeart or iTunes and all the other great applications that are out there for being able to do podcasts. So we look forward to seeing you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.